The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Is God trustworthy? Now, I know the correct answer is yes. Okay, we all say that. But in our hearts, do we really believe that, we can trust God, that if he makes a promise, he's going to follow through on it? Now, again, we know from Scripture that whatever God promised, he fulfilled. And in fact, today, all the readings, including the responsorial psalm, are fulfilled in our presence. So what God promised way back when, thousands of years ago, is coming to fruition, fulfillment, here and now. If you remember, when God first made the covenant with Abraham, he didn't say just the Israelites will be saved or be part of the people of God. Now, they were the primary recipients of that covenant, and even today, the Jews are God's holy people because he made a covenant with them. But he said to Abraham, through you, all peoples will come to know God. All peoples, not just those who are of the house of Israel, but all people will come to know the Lord and worship him. And that's fulfilled today, right now, what we're doing. Because we would have been those people who would not have been part of the house of Israel. We would have been counted among the Gentiles, among the pagans. And yet that covenant that God made with Abraham also included us. So thousands of years ago, when God said this, he fulfilled it. And the church continues to live that reality and go out and bring everybody to the Lord. That's our job. My job, your job. We're supposed to be continuing what the Lord began with Abraham, gathering all the nations. And in that reading from Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote about 2,500 years ago, he even says, he says exactly what I'm saying, that all the nations will come, worship in the temple, and minister to the Lord. So what Isaiah was saying, and this may not have hit home with the people of his time, but what Isaiah is saying, that even the Gentiles, even the pagans, will come to know the truth, and they will lead worship of the Lord. They will be priests. That's a radical thing for someone who thought, well, no, it's just the Jews, just the Israelites. But God's saying all people are welcome to be priests of the Lord. And if you remember from catechism or faith formation, that in baptism, every one of us is anointed to be a priest, a prophet like Isaiah, and a king. So like Isaiah, we're called to be prophets, to remind people of the truth, and we're also called to be priests. Now, what does that mean? It means that as priests, we lead other people in worshiping the Lord, and all of us can do that. I mean, if you have a friend that you meet out in the supermarket and they're saying, you know, my husband's very ill or whatever, let's say a prayer together and you lead them in prayer. You can do that. It's a wonderful gift. Or even better, go out on a street corner and get to know people. And when they talk about their needs, lead them in prayer and worship of the Lord, because you are priestly people. We are all priests. Now, I'm an ordained priest, which means I have a particular type of priesthood, but we're all anointed to be a priestly people. So just like Isaiah, who made that prophecy, and it's fulfilled at least in us here right and now, right this moment, you and I have to continue that work to gather all the nations around the Lord. Paul says that in today's reading. The responsorial psalm is, God, all nations will come to praise you, to worship you, to adore you. And Jesus answers the prayer of the Canaanite woman. She was a pagan, a Gentile. And yet she had better faith than many of the Israelites, the Jews. So we have all these wonderful examples of how God made this covenant and he's fulfilling it. But it's not been totally fulfilled, not because God is not trustworthy or doing what he needs to do. It's because we're not trustworthy, because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not taking the gospel out into the world. Remember when Jesus, before he ascended to the Father, he said to the disciples and to us, okay, I'm going to the Father, but I will be with you to the end of the world. But now you need to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel message, to gather the nations, to gather people, to teach people about Jesus Christ, to lead them in worship, to bring them into the church so that they too can be anointed to be priests, prophets, and kings. You know, we can read all this media stuff about what's going on in the world and get depressed and everything. That's not going to help. You know, like last week's gospel of Peter walking on the water, as long as he was focused on Jesus, he was okay. But when he started looking at the turmoil, the wind and the water, he started sinking. Isn't that what we do? We get all nervous and upset and frightened and angry and so forth and blame other people, instead of keeping our focus on Jesus, who says, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Preach me. Preach Jesus Christ. I alone am the solution to all the world's problems. And if we focus more on going out and claiming people for Jesus Christ, on gathering people, on saying, you're worried, you're frightened, you're upset, you're fearful, come. Come with us, worship with us, because it's Jesus Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we don't have to invent the solution to the world's issues. We've got it. We've got it. But the problem is, are we trustworthy with that solution, that faith in Jesus Christ? Do we keep it to ourselves out of, well, I can't do that, I don't have the time, so forth and so on, when in fact, our vocation is all about proclaiming the gospel message in word, teaching people about Jesus, and indeed doing what Jesus tells us to do, to reach out to the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the refugee, those who are widowed, those who are orphaned, serving them as a way of showing people what our beliefs are, our beliefs about God's desire to gather everyone, everyone, friend and foe, without judgment, but rather a desire to bring everybody to the healing peace of God. And only God can heal the wounds of our society and our own personal wounds. So we have, I think you'll agree, a lot of work to do. You know, I'll give you one little practical thing, and I know some of you will go, oh no, he can't tell me to do that. Get off of social media for a week. Get off of Facebook for a week. Get off of the computer for a week. Turn off the TV for a week. See what that does for you. See how maybe that redirects you to a place of peace where there's no anxiety and fear, where you can actually, even if it's, you get, you know, the DTs, you know, having to come off of that, that maybe there's a promise there that in the silence that we can create, we're going to hear God better. And that's what all the saints say. I'm just saying what they're saying. If we're in silence before the Lord, we're going to hear the Lord. Whereas if we're constantly distracted, like Peter last week with the wind and the waves, he was distracted. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And don't we do that? We think, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to figure it out. Oh, boy, that's going to get us into trouble. But there are practical ways in which we can practice our faith, do little things so that we can better focus on the mission we've been given, stop worrying about what other people are doing, focus on what we're called to do, and bring that good news of salvation to the world. So you are priests. You are prophets. You know the gospel. So go forth and proclaim it. Bring the gospel of peace, of justice, of mercy, which is all about Jesus Christ, into the world. So here we are celebrating the Eucharist 2,500 years after Isaiah, fulfilling his prophecies. Remember that. God's fulfilled it, and we're part of that fulfillment, part of that covenant. So we need to continue to go forth today as we're worshiping the Lord as his priestly people, but to take it out into the world. Don't not leave it here, but take it out into the world where it is desperately needed. And every one of us has the skills and abilities and gifts to proclaim that gospel in some form and fashion. So let's make that part of our intention today as we worship the Lord, that we will remember how important we are in the eyes of God because of our baptisms, called to carry on the good news into the world, to bring the gospel which is so desperately needed in the world, the gospel that is all about the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.